One, two, three, four. There we go. Right. One, two, three, four, five. Right, Mr. Coyle, now, this is the forge
there.
Smithy. The smithy. How important was it in the...
Well, when I started trade, it was absolutely vital, because all the tools we used, of course, used to dull up with constant use,
yes,
or sick, and had to be sharpened.
Yes.
So every mason was trained to sharpen his own tools.
So you had to be familiar with metal working as well as with stone.
Well, with your own tools,
yes,
anyway.
Yes.
And there's the forge, of course. So
yes.
It up on that.
We just have a look at it.
The only thing working properly now is the bellows on it. The tray is rusted through at the bottom, but
yes,
you can easily mend it.
Yes. It's a while since it's been used, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Yes. Hadn't these tungsten carbide tipped tools have taken over a lot of the work.
They've eliminated the need for the...
Especially in the letter cutting.
Yes. 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 And the chain hoist, that was for lifting
the
stones,
yes. Or the base of the whole cane memorial was worked in here from the rough block.
Was it?
And dressed, and the interlacing carved on it, and then the Tom Murphy, whom I told you about,
yes,
carved that figure of the Goldie Tod, that model of the Goldie Todman coat of arms, came over and carved the figures in here.
Yes.
And there was a photograph taken by Mr. R.B. Moore of Tom working on the stone here.
Was
there? So you've probably got somewhere in your archives a copy of that, I should imagine.
I must have a look for that. That's the memorial that's at Mackle, is
Mackle,
it?
Mackle, yes.
And you fitted, you did all that?
Well, it was all worked from the rough in here.
Was,
yes,
it really?
Yes. Oh,
and then,
yes,
set up at Mackle?
Oh, yes. It was quite a job it was at Mackle, too.
I'll bet. Yes. What year was that?
Remember 1930. Four or five,
was
offhand,
it?
I,
yes,
should say. I wouldn't, I'm not sure on that.
No.
It's in the mid-30s,
yes,
early to mid-30s.
Yes. And the rollers, they would be used for rolling?
Moving stone,
moving
around,
stone.
Yes.
And the drill for drilling?
Bring holes in
stone. In stone, yes. So once a week, perhaps,
Well,
the forge would
about
be
once a month a man would go in the forge, but usually there was somebody in here once a week, yes,
was
that's
there?
Quite,
yes,
right, quite,
yes,
correct.
Yeah, doing it all.
And of course, they haven't got the drum of water where for tempering that they used to have.
No.
The drum that was there finally rusted away.
Yes, yes.
The thing was, the water was never thrown away on it.
Was it?
Well, no, after it had been used several times, it was much. You got much better tempering than
did
you
thought
of it. Yes,
oh,
it was as if it absorbed some iron as compound from the...
Into the water?
And into the water.
Yeah.
And made the tempering much more reliable.
I see. Yeah.
It was a little bit hit and miss if you had,
yes,
fresh water.
Yes.
But
yeah. Now, these stones here, They're blanks, are they?
No, they're old headstones that we took in and replaced with granite and these. You see, they get so dirty over the years, those old stones. You,
yeah,
may have noticed them in the old churchyard,
yes,
especially in the old part of Braddon Cemetery. People come to the end of the line and say, oh well, there'll be nobody to look after it when we go, so we'll replace it with a polished granite, which will...
And what kind of stone is that?
That's Yorkshire stone.
Yorkshire stone, yes.
And that's what happened in both those cases.
Yes. But if you did get a stone like that, would you import it cut like that, or would you have to, would it be in a block and you'd
have
to...
Well, you'd have to mould it. It would be sawn on the two big faces in,
yes,
all probability.
Yes.
And then you work the edges on the top.
And you put all the moulding in,
yes,
by hand and
by
everything.
Hand.
And then what about the design on it? Would you draw and sketch that out? Or?
Yes, well, there were generally several patterns that you used,
yes,
in a firm.
Yes.
They vary slightly from different firms of monumental masons to others. But,
yeah. But there was a lot of skill attached to the,
oh,
setting,
yes,
it,
oh,
out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those are what are known as Bolton Wood stones. They come from the Bolton Wood quarries.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether they're still operating or not. In fact, I don't think they are. But it was peculiar stone. You could work it when you got it fresh from the quarries.
Yes.
It's quite easy to work.
Yes.
But just you leave it for 12 months and try and work it. It hardened up and like trying to dress steel rather than
And what would cause that? The atmosphere?
Yes. You see, it'd be, they were quarries, well, they were very old quarries, so they're working quite deep down in them,
yes.
I suppose. And
yes.
The deeper you go in the stone, usually the quality improves.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Extraordinary.
The surface stone is rubbish as a rule from any quarry when it's open. It's only suitable for hardcore for infilling and
is it? Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah, so the deeper you go, the better the quality.
Yes.
Oh.
Back down in the Isle of Purbeck in those areas, you see where they're quarried in underneath the surface, quite a long way down the tunnel and pillar method of quarrying. And
yeah.
They got into quite good quality stone, you see, without any great delay.
Yes. Now on the other side there, is that a granite cross?
Yes, so that is.
That's just a simple unworked one, but polished, is that right?
It's polished on one face.
Polished on one face.
Yes. And that's quite a common practice, of course.
And that would have to be done by hand, presumably.
Well, as a matter of fact, that would be, yes.
Yeah.
That was made in India.
Yes.
So, where, of course, they're more concerned about employing labour than saving money.
Yes, yeah.
We have so much labour at hand, and
yes.
Want to employ as much of it. But I don't think that practice is quite so general now.
No,
become more competitive.
With any of the local granite, have you got any examples of local granite here at all?
Only in Ockwoods. There's a piece of it there.
That's
that block standing on its own there.
Well, that's local.
That's from the Stony Mountain. There's
is
another
it?
In the back there, under that yellowish rough stone.
Yes. Yes.
I think there's another piece down below somewhere.
And all this stuff would be brought from by horse and cart, presumably, in those days, would it?
Well, yes, presumably.
Yeah.
Well, there's more local stuff there. That's the remains of an old altar tomb made in Pulvash marble.
Really?
Yes.
That square block there, leaning against the wall?
That's been demolished at some time. I don't know what the story of it is. It was here when I started
was
trade.
It? And what do you say to us? An altar?
Tomb.
An altar tomb?
Yes, you know, the box
tomb
you see out in the churchyards.
Yes.
It's probably collapsed and been removed from... Or again, it may have been replaced with something more...
That's the sort of thing
modern.
We could do with at the museum for a reconstruction.
Put it in your car.
Yes.
It away. You have that?
Good.
Now there's more Pulvash.
Those darkens?
Yes, they've been parts of a chimney piece.
Have they?
Yes.
Yes.
It shows you they did work at quite complicated patterns.
It's very fine workmanship.
Oh yes,
that.
Very good indeed.
Yeah. And these flat slabs here, would they be Pulvash?
That flat one there?
No, that thin one?
I think that's slate.
Is it?
Yes. They're very difficult to tell them on the face sometimes, but if you turn them round, you can tell it once here. You can. You see the rough surface on the back, whereas in slate that would be a sawn slab.
Yes, and when that was put into a fireplace, that would be set in and cemented, presumably.
Well, yes, there'd be a base block, of
yes.
course, and then a capping, probably, and then a cross mantle.
Uh-huh.
That might have been a cross mantle.
Yeah. And what about this one here?
Well, that's a piece of Yorkshire stone.
That's
an old stone sink.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it broke. I was going to take that one down to my own garden.
Yes,
it's broken when handling it.
Yeah. And did you make you made stone sinks and that sort of thing?
Well, that was long before my time.
Was it?
But in my grandfather's time, all the houses had the slop stone.
Really?
Red sandstone
or Yorkshire stone.
Whitehaven stone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those houses opposite, for instance, they had that on top of the wall. There was a stone blocking course.
Yes.
The gutter was hidden behind it. The water drained down the roof and into a lead gutter and then went down. And
really?
The spouts came out under the stonework at the corner of the building.
And that's above Pete and Warwick's,
yes.
The accountant's
yes.
place.
And the roof had a red sandstone ridge on it.
Did it?
Yes. We used to have a piece of that around here, but I can't... Yeah. I've been looking for that, as a matter of fact, showed to you, but I can't find it. It was cut to a tin shop, you know, hollowed out in there.
Yes.
And
put on.
Yes.
Well, when they were building the likes of those, although they're only sort of four stories, it's pretty high up. What did they rig some form of scaffolding?
Well, they have scaffolding up, of course. They'd have to have that to build the walls.
Yes, it wouldn't be the modern style.
Well,
like we
or not this tubular steel scaffolding. No, the old scaffold poles.
Yes.
I had two of them here until last week.
Really?
And
were they timber?
Yes. Oh, yes. And they were 28 feet long. I think it was 26 or 28.
Yes.
Wondering what to do with these, and I thought, oh, I'll have to saw them up and burn them as logs in the winter.
Yeah.
One of them had been damaged a bit at the foot. And then I said, well, Mrs. Osborne, I wonder could she use them up at a riding school? So I rang her up. Oh, my word, she was down in a big lorry that afternoon to take them away.
Oh, for the horses' hurdles, yes.
Either that or to keep the crowd back.
Yeah. Well, they're put to good use, anyway.
Oh, yes.
And there'd be a lot of... blocks and pulley work, I suppose.
Oh, there was in those days, yes. It used to use the block and tackle method then, you know, a three and a two pulley block.
Yes.
And it's slowish, but of course you can lift big weights and lift slowly and safely.
Yeah. Well, this pinkish sort of granite, is that?
That's a granite.
And where would that come from?
That's an Indian granite.
That's Indian?
Yes. You also get that type of thing from Scotland, Peterhead.
Yes.
And the various parts of the country where there are small deposits of it. And in Shap, you see great big small Easter egg type of thing in a reddish blotch.
Yes,
And I am told that there is a red vein in the Doon quarry. I've never seen it, but I've not been
there. The Doon, out by Laxey there, yes.
Really? Major Niven, or Colonel Niven, told me that one day I was talking to him.
That would be interesting, that.
I think he'd taken a lease on the quarry, he's already been round them with a view to working them, and he'd seen this. And
there's a vein of the red granite?
Yes, I don't know how big it is or anything, but he was wondering if it could be put to commercial use on the island. Well, I'm afraid you'd not get the demand on it.
No. No.
It was a very determined effort made to use it, in the early days, before Dumbell's Bank went bust, I should think.
Yes. It's around 1900.
Yes. You see some of it up in the houses at Little Switzerland. The copings on the walls are granite, you know, and there's granite work in the walls.
Yes. And is that local granite?
Well, that was from the Doon, I believe.
From the Doon, was it?
Yes, the copings there have been roughly worked, and I think that granite that you see in Palatine Road and some of the houses in York Road, I think that's come from there too.
So it was quite an industry then?
Well, they would be trying to get one going,
yes.
because the Manx Electric Railway would be running through by...
For transport, Yes, transport wouldn't be such a problem then, with the electric railway.
Oh no, they can bring the stuff into Douglas quite easily, and down into Ramsey quite easily. But again, that was all before my time. It's just what I've heard the old masons saying.
Yes. We can move down a bit into the yard now. I've got some cable.
There's quite a variety of stones just around there. You've got Portland and Bath stone.
The Portland stone, I gather, was it the Bath stone which was easiest to work?
Well, Bath stone's easiest to work.
Was it?
It's much softer. Portland stone is more or less the same hardness as white marble.
Yes. And that whitish stone, is that the Bath stone?
Yes.
I see, it's like a light sandstone.
It's not sandstone, of course, it's a limestone,
it's
the same family as the Portland stone, of course, well, alongside each other anyway, down the south of England there.
Yes.
And then there's the Beer stone in Devon, which is another one.
Yes.
a piece of that down on the box, I think, down there.
Is there? Mm. Yes. Now, the red sandstone blocks here, the big blocks here,
yes.
They would be local, would they?
No.
That's
no.
St. Bees, is it?
Well, that one looks like Runcorn to me. I'm not sure the colour of it.
Yes, Runcorn in Cheshire.
Yes, a lot of the old Red Pier was built of that, around Runcorn.
The Red Pier in Douglas, was it?
So I understand.
Yes. I believe that was very soft stone for wearing, wasn't it?
No, it's quite good wearing. Yeah. Mind you, people say that, but they forget that the thing was there probably been worn over about 90 years.
Quite, yes.
I remember there was a lot of criticism over at St. Mary's just after the war. The certain stonework had to be renewed. Oh, it's not lasted any time, this, that and the other. Yeah. And I said, well, when was the church built? It was about 90 years earlier, you know. And they'd been standing up there facing the weather.
Yeah, people forget time flies, isn't it?
Yeah, but concrete. Well, yeah. Then you go up to Ballycommeet School, look at the concrete windowsills, and you see cracks in some of them.
Yes.
And the place was only, cattle were grazing on there when I started training.
Yes. So there's quite a variety of stone that was actually in use then.
Well, that very light grey, that's an Irish granite.
Is it?
Yes.
That's Bessbrook.
They did start working it for monumental purposes during and after the war.
Yeah.
And they were getting into good stuff, but I understand it's gone back more or less to road work and that type of thing.
Is it? Yes.
I don't know. There's another Irish granite behind it, that very light grey granite.
Yes.
That was cloth.
And what would the likes of those long blocks be used for?
Oh, they were curbs.
Curves.
Round graves.
Oh, I see, because they're very narrow, aren't they?
Yes,
about 8 inches by six.
Six by six.
And they were the actual curb of the grave.
Yes. They're broken ends of them. Because we used to get a fair amount of breakages in transit.
Did you? Mm. Yes.
They weren't, the Irish, of course, were not packed like stuff coming from abroad.
No.
But even then, the stuff from abroad would be smashed to pieces sometimes.
Would it?
It depend on the sea crossing and on the handling it got on the docks.
And the average size of these curbstones, when they came, would be what, 8, 10?
They were about, the usual length of a finished stone was 7 feet by 6 by 6 inches.
Yes.
So they came individually.
Yes. Yes.
But those came finished from the quarries, those granites.
Yes.
The limestone, very little about now. Oh, there's a piece of Irish limestone. They used to come just sawn the four sides, and then we'd work them up and finish them.
Did they?
As we wanted.
Yes, and that was Irish.
Yes. Now they used to suffer a lot of breakage in transit.
Did they?
Oh yes. They weren't packed. They came as rough stone.
Yes. Yes. What about the shed here? What was that mainly used?
Well, before my grandfather came here, of course, that was the coach house.
Yes.
Major Caesar Bacon from Seafield owned this place.
Seafield in Sandton?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I understand he used to put his trap and horse up in here when he came to town.
So this would be his town stables in the old days?
Yes.
I see.
Because they owned Ballycommeen.
Yes.
And the family lived down by the steam packet there next to the Royal.
Before they
built Seafield, I understand.
Did they?
Yes. So. Oh, just how far back?
So the Bacon family must have been quite powerful people then. At that
time. Yes, well, they owned quite a lot of land around the Isle of Man.
Yes.
But a place where the Royal Agricultural Show was held this year.
Yes.
Was there at one time, I believe.
At Sobey?
Starwood, yes.
Was Starwood belong to
Bacon
family?
Yes, I believe that's the name of the town they originated from up in northeast England somewhere.
Really?
I'm not sure of that, but you can check.
I must check up on that. Yes.
And,
oh, I didn't realise that.
They built Seafield and went out there to live. They owned that land.
Yes.
And the family still owns a certain amount of land out in Sandton.
Do they?
Well, the Bealby Wrights.
Of course.
Mr. Bealby Wright.
Bealby Wright, yes.
Through his grandmother's Bacon's.
Yes. And this would be for the trap shed for the coach?
Originally.
And then further down, I see the
three stalls.
Stalls for the ponies and the horses. Yeah.
I don't know why there should be three, whether it was ever used for another purpose or not, I don't know. But I believe he used to meet his tenants and things in that finish, where the lettering shop we've just left there, in a building that was there before that. That was a kind of office.
Was it?
And yeah. You noticed the window in there, you know, it's a real George, a real beautiful George.
I noticed that when I photographed it yesterday, yeah.
And that is the original, of course.
Yes. I see a lot of these broken headstones here. That one, John Edward Corlett.
Well, yes. That's
would those be coming in for replacement or repairs?
Oh, replacement. That actually was an existing stone. It's brought in here and it broke when we were resetting it.
Yes.
And flawed in the thing.
Yes.
It has to be replaced.
Yes. And what would this shed be called? The banking?
Or the stonemason's shed, of course, or the banker's shed.
Banker's shed.
A stonemason doesn't have a bench like a joiner. They put up the stones up on stools like those, usually lower.
Those trestle-type stools.
And, of course, they can be manoeuvred. If one man can get one end and lift it, and they put a skid of wood under it to raise it, or put something lower there.
So they're more versatile than a fixed...
Yes. And, of course, they can be adapted to the length of the stone. They can be spread, or they can be brought together.
Yes.
If you wanted a bench type of thing, we usually put a piece of old slate on top of two stools
and made a fixed bench.
A temporary bench. Much more permanent. Mm.
Yes.
And that's the old bogey we used to roll stones on.
That's the one with the rollers?
Yes.
And that's sort of rollers in place of wheels?
Well, it was very handy, I believe, on scaffolds. I never saw it used on a scaffold, I don't think. But there's three rollers, they're not parallel sides, they're tapered in the middle, and you notice there's a swelling in.
Yes.
And the centre one is slightly larger in diameter at the centre than the other two.
Uh-huh.
So you could pivot very quickly around the corner.
You could turn it, yes. That would be much more useful than wheels.
Oh, yes.
And for the weight, of course, too.
Well, it carried the big weight. Well, after the war, we were bringing a lot of quite big stones in from Southern Ireland to make the long low headpiece type of thing.
Yes.
They were sawn two sides, we just put them on those and roll it down over the rocky road in there.
Yeah.
And you could upend them quite easily here, off that stool.
Yes.
As long as you had sufficient help and men who knew how to handle it.
Quite, yes. Yes. Well, and in the old days, there'd be quite a few men working in here.
Well, there was usually four.
Four masons?
Yes, you didn't bang them up close to it because of the dust.
Oh.
And the greatest crime you could commit here was to work on that side of that big stone, one man, and the other man on the opposite side of it. My father saw that, there was...
Really?
War.
Why was that then?
Because of the dust.
The dust?
Oh, yes. And that's why the sides were always open, they were never sealed up. We put a windbreak up.
I wondered about that, it would be pretty severe in the winter time.
Oh, yes. But of course, that was the job.
Yes.
You could do it now with dust extractors, of course.
Yes.
Vacuum thing, but extracting the dust all the time. But
and dome bell shaped, is that a mallet?
Yes, the handle on that's been broken.
Yeah.
There are some others up in the lettering shop
there. Are there? Mm-hmm. Will there be any of those available for the museum?
Yes. That's the one I would like to have given you, but see the woodworm's got in it.
Well, we can treat that.
Yeah. But because that just shows, there's the bat of the mallet.
Yes.
If you hit on that, that's softer at that side than here, you see. It's after constant use, it gets very hard.
Yes.
And a mason using it will strike at the same spot all the time.
And he calls that the bat?
The bat,
bat. That was the term used for that depression.
Now, with one man here, the most peculiar bat, he seemed to hit it and swivel around the corner.
Yes.
And he was the man who used to use this mallet. Yes. Anybody else tried to do it, they take the skin on the fingers and knuckles.
I suppose they all had their own techniques.
Ned Carl had, we always used to say, he's hitting it, he doesn't hit it straight, he hits it on a curb somehow.
But it worked.
Oh, yes, he the tooling, finished tooling work, you could do it beautifully.
Yes.
But anybody else used the mallet, made a mess of, this, of the tooling and made a mess of his hands at the same time.
He had his own technique.
Oh, yes. Mm. As if he curled it, just as he hit it.
Yes, yeah. I'll just get some more cable down. Were there any particular names for the various tools that were used?
Oh yes. I'll be digging some of those out and show you.
Yes.
But when it would come here, it was usually off the quarryman's pick.
Yes.
And the first thing you'd have to dress it down with was with a point, you know, which is a sharp. You know, it goes more or less to a point.
Yes.
And then the claw tool.
Yes.
Which I'll have to dig out. I don't think I've got one.
And what would the claw tool do?
It took it down to a finer surface. It was a loose holder in which you put blades, which were claw type of thing.
Yes.
Usually an inch in width.
Yes.
You could get them up to 2 inches in width.
Yes.
It depends on the job you're doing and using those on. And then after that you went on to the chisels, the inch chisel, inch and a half. And finally with a bolster if necessary, which would be about 2 inches, up to 2 inches wide.
Yes.
And then if they were to be finished off the tool, they were generally lightly rubbed and then finished with a tooler, which was, could go up to 4 inches in width.
Yes.
And of course it took a lot of practice to be able to do that.
Yes.
Nicely.
Yes.
You'd be inclined to dig one end in more than the other.
Yes.
And you see it occasionally unfinished stone.
Yes.
Very often on a big job, one man would tool a lot.
Would he?
Yes. It would be all kept in the same
uniform
distance between the bats, between the below, you know, the marks. And
yes. Yes, it must have been quite a tedious as well as a difficult job in preparing the stone.
I never found it really tedious.
No.
By the end of the day, probably, you were fed up with the sight of it, really glad to knock off. And
but once you finished it, I think you'd get a lot of satisfaction.
Well, it was there.
Out of it.
You could see something for your work.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's quite true.
Now the big red sandstone blocks here on the against the wall, what would they be?
They've come off a building. It's
have they?
Mm, yeah, they've been brought in. The builders, whenever they were demolishing anything, used to send the wagons round here first with these things, see if it was any use to us. And we used to take it in if it was any use.
Yes.
May not use it for years.
Yes.
Well, some of it's never been used,
quite,
as you can see.
But you could refashion the stone.
For a lot of it could, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can use it on new buildings again.
No.
But it could be used for repairs or for filling in things. There's a stone there, you see it's come off somewhere. See how the heavy moulding that's on that?
Yes, I see that. Yes. That yellowy.
Yeah, so you get a better view of it here.
Oh, I see, and that would all have to be done by...
Oh, that's all been hand cut.
Hand cut.
Oh, yes.
And hand smoothed.
Yes.
Too.
Oh, yes.
And then on the other face, I can see the sort of chisel marks. Would that be just
that's
the rough dressing?
That's the bed of the stone.
The bed.
That's probably upside down, that stone.
Yes.
The bed would be on the top. It may have had a piece cut off it, of course, over the years.
I can see the marks there.
Yes, well it's come from the quarry like that.
Yes.
From there.
Yes.
And then it's been dressed smooth.
Yes.
And this face that we're looking at now, that's been the joint between that stone and the one abutting it.
I see.
It's probably been an entablature around or cornice around the house and the top of it.
Yes. So an awful lot of your work then would be connected with the actual building trade as opposed to the monumental
side. Well, it was both sides, of course, around, but Oh yes, well, when my father started trade, his father was doing the stonework for St. Matthew's Church.
Really?
Yes. And I know.
That's the present St. Matthew's
yes,
Church?
Yes, and yep. They were talking in 20-odd masons, of course, working on the job then.
Were they? Yes.
When they were under pressure yes. to get it finished to a certain stage.
Yeah.
So there'd be men working here, possibly on the site, or possibly somewhere else in the town they'd be putting it
yes.
in.
Yes, yeah.
Do it.
So in fact a mason then had to be capable of producing monumental work as well as building.
Oh yes,
work.
Yes, yes.
You don't realise that in a way, because nowadays you tend to think that a monumental mason is a monumental mason only.
Yes, but well, of course a monumental mason nowadays is more or less a letter cutter and a setter, a erector. There's very few of them make the stones themselves now.
Do they? It's all...
It all comes ready-made.
Ready-made.
Well, I'm saying it all comes, a lot of it comes ready-made.
Yes.
But what they do mainly is the decoration on the face
mm-hmm.
and the lettering and the erection of it. There's sometimes the edges are dressed and things. It depends on what's wanted.
Yes.
The final thing.
But then today, I suppose, the tools that's used are all either electrical-driven or mechanical-driven
yes,
or something,
yes.
as opposed to hand.
And of course it's gone into granite
yes.
almost entirely now.
Yes.
It's cheaper to buy a finished granite than it is to buy the rough Yorkshire stone, for instance, and work the thing
is
by
it?
Hand.
Yes.
Now, yeah.
Yes, I suppose.
The big machines that they have.
Yeah.
Those things they can do.
So it's economics plays a big part
oh,
in
yes.
it.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what's... Well, it's more or less finished the trade, of course. There's very little building work of any kind, you know, any dressed kind done
no,
now.
No. Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. Well, it's quite fascinating, that.
Oh, yes. Now you've got Welsh slate. And
oh, that's that very narrow one
yes.
there.
That's
what's that about 4x2 or something?
Yes, yes. That's the purple type, and there's the darker blue type.
And that's Welsh as well?
Yes, they're in different quarries.
And what would this one be used for? The likes
well,
of that?
That I think has been part of a water tank or a beer system.
Yes.
In the big country houses, days before the water schemes, they used to have slate systems up in the roof.
Oh.
And here you can see the remains of one. This wasn't a slate system, this was a beer tank from the old woods of Wolf's Brewery, I understand.
Really?
Yeah.
A beer tank?
Yes.
Slate
the beer was left in that to either mature or something, and I don't know what the process was, but
really?
It's the same process as they use today, of course, but they use slate tanks instead of these polished aluminium, is it, or
yes,
stainless steel
today.
Right.
And there was slate in those days?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard Dad and Dick Lawton and Ned Carroll talking about them making these before the First World War and during the First World War.
Really?
I've got somebody in here. I
think we have. We'll just switch off. And I think we're right now. Now we're going again.
Well, there's those slate tanks are on, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, during the outbreak of the First World War, very early on in it, they made some slate tanks for the Opal's Brewery.
Yes.
They were supplying the beer to the internment camps, and of course, the government wanted its full and exact measure, I think, and that's because it had
yes.
to be something for customs purposes, I don't know. But they made these tanks then. They were about the last they were ever made.
Were they? For Oakles Brewery?
Yes. Well, I never remember hearing of any others being made after that.
No.
Well, they were made actually, I suppose, at the orders of the British government.
Yes, yes.
Not ours, is it?
No.
Oh, it is. It's Peter Kelly.
Oh, it's Peter is here. Well, I didn't realise that the slate was so widely used,
oh, yes,
putting on roofs and things like that.
Well, in the big houses, you saw tanks made this morning, Peter.
Yeah.
And because the water was pumped up to them in
yeah.
these tanks and then ran down, fed the house as the time
uh-huh.
went on. Mount Rule, I think, was about the last house they put them in.
Was it?
That was before the First World War, when the Carroll family
were living there.
Mm-hmm.
Good heavens. So a mason indeed had to be very versatile in those days.
Well, certainly in the Isle of Man, a small scale, away in the bigger concerns, of course, they tend to specialise in different things.
Yes. Yes. Right, we're going again. I was just noticing on some of those curb pieces there, Mr. Quayle, they're drilled at the ends. Is that for the purpose?
Yes. The stone abutting that would be drilled in a similar way, and a slate or copper dowel be put in, fixed in there, kept the stones together.
For keying them together. Yes.
Stop movement on them.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yes, that's of course the old method of fixing a stone work.
Yes. Well, if you had to do any ornamental work that required metal brackets and things, would you make them in the forge here?
Oh no,
yourself?
No.
You would
no,
get
they'd be made by a proper smith.
By the foundry or the smith.
Yes,
yeah. What sort of wages would they be getting in your grandfather's time or your father's time?
Well, my grandfather's time would be under £1 a week.
Under £1 a week?
I should think so, anyway.
That would be for a full tradesman?
Yes. I've heard my father saying 27 shillings, I think, when somewhere about the time he started.
27 shillings a week?
Yes.
And what year would that be about?
About 1895.
1895. Mm-hmm. And that would be considered pretty good.
Well, it was tradesman's wage.
Tradesman's
wage. And,
well, when you brought these people over from Ireland, the sort of dressers and things like that, what sort of wage would they be?
Well,
getting?
They would be on the current rate of wages.
Would they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But out of that, presumably, they'd have to pay for their digs.
Oh yes. Well, from what I remember, father saying, there was only one of those four was married.
Uh huh.
Yes. It didn't matter, travelling. Apparently many, many years ago, there were a lot of masons who used to travel around from job to job.
Did they? Yes. They were journeymen.
This was years ago,
of course.
Yeah. And there were a lot of joiners who did the same thing. Well, building workers generally, I suppose.
Yes.
I've got a table at home, and the top was originally the underneath of the lid of a joiner's toolbox.
Really?
It's beautifully done, and it belonged to a family in Leicester into which my father's sister had married.
Yeah.
And she saw this toolbox just lying there. The man had died working for them. They never found out where he came from or anything.
Mm.
And his tools had been left lying in the box for countless years before my aunt saw it. And then she persuaded her father-in-law to let her have it as a linen chest or things like that. But when her daughter got married, she commandeered this chest and she had this table made.
Oh.
And
the lid of the chest was set on top of the table?
Yes, it was the inside of the lid,
inside
of course. But it wasn't on hinges, it was on rollers, and all the rollers were veneered the same. And as you opened it, all these different coloured woods passing each other, it's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyway, my cousin apparently got fed up with this thing, and she put it out for the sale. My mother saw it lying there, said, "Oh, you're not putting that to the sale, that's going to the Isle of Man." She said, "Tim wants that, I know that, he loves that chest."
Yeah.
He loved that chest. I was rather disappointed when she had the table made out of it, but she had a good table made out of it. It's quite a nice bit of furniture. Well, that was just a man who went round and about, and if they said, "Well, what can you do?" he'd open the lid of his box, and there it was.
Extraordinary. That would be advertising his skill as well.
Proof of what he could do.
Well, that is fascinating, Mr. Quayle.
No, I'm not saying stone cutters carried a stone box.
No.
Even a timber box.
No. Mind you, I suppose word would spread with reputations were made and so on.
Round about. Yeah. Yes, of course, a lot of them who lived in workhouses and things, you know, put up there until they got somewhere to dig in for the length of the job.
Yes, yeah.
That's a bit of Aberdeen granite, incidentally.
That's Aberdeen granite, that's the darker one, isn't it?
Yes. And that's a bit of scarlet limestone down there.
Is it? Oh, well, that's a fine block, isn't it?
Yes, that's a big one.
Yes. And that would, when you got the likes of that, you'd have to sort of, would be got for a purpose, presumably.
I think it's one the builders have dumped in here and never found a use for it.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's very tricky stuff to work when it's been quarried a long time.
The langstone,
scarlet limestone, yes. It goes very hard and very brittle, and you'll be working and it break off ahead of your tool.
Oh, yes. That would spoil the job.
And sometimes the runs, the veins in it, of course, soften and it will break along those. So I've been told. I've never worked any of it second hand.
No. And that block of sandstone there, is that sandstone?
Yes, that's red sandstone.
And where would the likes of that
come? I should think it's from Cumberland, the colouring of it.
Is it? Would that be St. Bees?
Yes, some around St. Bees Head.
Yes. Very similar to the metal cross that. In texture.
Yes. Well, of course, that's a greyish one, isn't it?
But I think it's bleached and weathered to its proper colour.
There's a white stone round there.
Is there?
There used to be one called Workington White.
It's
a freestone, a greyish freestone. Yeah. It was differed from the Yorkshire grey.
Yes.
There were brown speckles in the Whitehaven stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Yorkshire was almost grey, it's purely grey. You get the occasional little black specks in it.
Yes, yeah.
There's a lot of the Cumberland stuff used here, of course, in houses.
Yes.
100 and 150 years ago, because of the constant trade between Whitehaven and Workington and the Isle of Man by the schooners.
Mm. So, in fact, then that the Bacon Coach House, which was later
the stonemason banker's sheds,
will very shortly close.
It will.
And what would be what was your address here?
7 St George's Street.
7 St George's Street.
Yes.
And that
it's a plot here, a winter house.
Yes.
But whether the yard was actually here before the street was made, or I don't know which is the chicken and which is the egg.
No.
Whether the design was laid out on the width of this plot, or in fact the plot may have ended more or less where the coach is, or partway up the present yard.
Yes.
You see, the whole layout would be redesigned.
Yes.
I don't know. You have maps in the museum which show it as an intended street.
That's right, we have, Yes,
when I do retire, I'm going to go up there and get a hold of all those things and have a real good look.
Yes.
And call Miss Harrison in for assistance when I want.
Yes. Well, if we could, any of the old tools and mallets and dressing irons or whatever they're named, we'd be very grateful.
Oh, well, I did tell the director I would let him have samples of those.
Yeah.
He asked me that when he was down here.
Yeah.
That's understood.
Good.
I was quite pleased to hear that he had an idea of reconstructing a stonecutter's yard. They seem to have everything else in the at Craignish round about except that. And
well, we're trying very hard to cover every aspect of life and the various crafts and things like that. But it's not often we get the opportunity of a gem like this to supplement what we've got.
Yes,
you know, and it would be great, really.
What do you think of that piece of redstone?
That is a fantastic block of stone. I'm just curious to know what it was.
Well, that's the Woolton stone from Liverpool.
Is it?
Redstone, yes. It was the part of the war memorial that was on Douglas Head originally.
Really?
You know, before this present limestone cross was set up there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This one was set up soon after the First World War, mm-hmm. and they couldn't get the big blocks of St. B's redstone in those days, and it was made of Walton. Well, it was in a terrific gale, it was blown down one night.
Yeah.
Now, there's no reflection on the stonemason. There was a really good dowel in, everything was done properly. It was put up by the Royston firm,
yeah.
of course. But they could not be blamed for it in any way. They had made a really satisfactory job of it. It must have been an exceptional gale,
mm-hmm.
and of course the stone was not the quality for standing the weather.
Mm.
Anyway, it was... this new limestone was, we put it up in its place and had to shift the stone off the site, so it was, this was brought down here in case any arguments came up after what had happened to the stone and things.
That must weigh something like half a ton.
Oh, I tell you, much more, I should
really?
Think.
Yes.
So you're getting around, what is it about? Mm. It's about 6 feet.
Mm.
By 2 feet, is it? Over
Oh, yes, I would think that.
Yeah, 2 foot three. Well, an average of 2 feet allowing for recesses.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's 12 feet and you've got it at least 15 inches. So you've got about 15 cubic feet in that, so it will be about a ton.
Yes. Good. That's some piece of stone.
Oh, yes. It's been very handy having a firm banker.
Yeah.
Because we used to work a lot of marble nosings and risers for the doorsteps in houses at one time.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you had a good, real good solid bench working.
Oh, so this was utilised as a bench?
Yes.
Yes,
as a picture. But all the other three were in stools, and the one down there was stools.
Yes.
We used to have quite a few of those stools about. I've only got one pair of sound ones left now.
Yeah.
There's another single one underneath here.
That's right, I noticed that. Yeah.
But the mate to that has gone long since.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is quite fascinating, and I think our tape is just about to run out too, so. Right, here we go again. Now then, where are we now then?
Well, we're down in one of the stalls. The old stable stall.
Well, this would be one of the old bacon pony stalls.
You see the timber lining around two sides of it,
Then
of course the timber partitions between them.
Yes.
And there's the old feeding rack.
Oh, I see.
The metal feeding rack.
That's rather nice, isn't it?
Yes. It used to be on both sides of that.
Yes.
But they've gone now. In fact, when I was a little boy, the manger was still in that little one.
Was it really?
Mm. We could rot it away, of course.
We could do with that rack at the museum, too.
Well, you'll have to see Mr. Tickle, who now owns the property, about that. His demolition people.
Yes, yeah. Because that is rather a nice piece of a mixture of iron and timber.
And timber, yes, the old country craftsman type of thing.
Right. Mm. What would this place be used for, then?
Well, here, this is the area where we stored the toolboxes.
Yes.
Kept the toolboxes. There's one there, there used to be another one there.
Yes.
There's one here, and there was another there at one time.
Yes.
But in recent years, I've used it as a store, usually for chippings.
Bring
a load of foxtail chippings down here, ready bagged, and they'll be stored in the corners here.
Oh, I see, yes.
Or even when I've had a biggish tiling job on.
Yes.
And we've had to get the stuff over. When we could have it rather than when the job was ready for it. So they've been stored in here. They've been 200 or 300 yards of tiles perhaps going down here.
Yes, it's quite a... If it could only speak, I bet it would have a lot to tell.
I'd like to hear those people, you know.
Yes.
Before my grandfather's time, the old stablemen or whatever they were.
Gosh, yes. I see a little roller built in here. What would that...
Ah, yes, well, that again was another trolley arrangement they used to use for setting windowsills and heads on buildings. And that would also roll around the scaffold, but it wasn't as manoeuvrable as that.
No.
But it had, I understand, two upright beams to that, which formed a lifting hoist.
Ah.
That they could wheel the say, a sill along to the opening, and then lift it on it and swing it in over the opening. And into position on the wall.
Yes. That's interesting, that. Very heavily built, too, obviously.
Oh, yes.
To
well, of course, they had to be, because, I mean, you've got the average sill, you'd have about 500 weight in it,
Yes, people don't realise when they see them set into place in the window just how much they would weigh, really.
And they were ingenious men, the old stone cutters. Yes. See, they all had to be, to a certain extent, because a knowledge of geometry was really essential if you're going into a complicated masonry.
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah.
They were the brighter boys, probably.
Now, we're upstairs in, above the stalls.
Yes, it would be the hayloft in the old days, of
course. Would be the old hayloft?
Yes. The window on at the lopus there is only a half window. You can see where the door has been to.
Yes.
Through there.
Yes. And what was this used for latterly?
Well, in my time, a tile store.
Tile store,
for work that was finished and wanted to make sure it would not get damaged.
Yes.
Small pieces and things, they were brought up here.
Yes.
That was the office we used down at work, although the three generations of us had done most of the office work at home.
Yes.
But you had to have somewhere on the yard. You could, if you had an hour to spare, you could get at it and everything like that.
Yes. So this would be a general store, and all the ropes, the big ropes there.
Well, of course, they're from the old days when they used to have do a lot of lifting with shear legs.
Yes.
You had to have guy ropes for those, of course, and then you had the ropes for the hoisting and things. You can see the hanging up in there, the pulley blocks.
Oh, I see that. All those big pulleys with the chain chain blocks
and
then.
And the chains there, they would be swings, of course.
And they would be worked with the shear legs to lift the very big
stones.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite a fascinating board on the side of the office there.
Why, that is, that's very, you know, it's one to be prized. It appears to have been an advertisement for the steamship line, which was formed by the directors who broke away from the Steam Packet Company in its early days. You notice the Isle of Man and Liverpool Steam Navigation Company.
Yes.
And reading the steam packets 1908 and its centenary version and Connery Chappell's Island Lifeline, it that seems to bear out what I've just told you.
Yes.
There was another steamship company, the Manchester and Liverpool Steamship Company, better known as the Manx Line in its day, of course. The Queen Victoria and the Prince of Wales were their big vessels.
Yeah.
But my father remembered those. But this seems to have been here before those days.
Yes, yes.
And it's interesting, down at the bottom there, it's got the agent's name, Thomas Blackburn, number 10 Dale Street.
Oh,
so it's evidently been out in Liverpool somewhere.
Yes, that would be the Liverpool agent.
Yes.
And where the windows are would be the name of the boat that was sailing. And the
Times. Yes, the two slots. Yes, it says, you know, there. Superior steam packet will sail, isn't it?
Yes, right. Yes, the Steam Navigation Company Superior Steam Packet will sail to Douglas this day. And then, of course, the date would be underneath.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So,
this is a rarity, that.
Well,
isn't it?
Yes. Well, the director was very keen to have it. And,
yes,
of course, I was very keen that they should have it.
Yes,
And Mr. Tickle, who's bought the property, he says so too.
He
agrees with it. So that can be shifted out too. You have to get somebody to get working on that too quickly. And I don't know whether it will do. I thought the Nautical Museum in Castletown would be the
possibility
the
for that.
Thing.
Yes, yes, that would be quite a showpiece down there.
Yes,
yes.
It's a beautiful piece of lettering on it.
It is. Yes, it's very well done.
Well, that was all newly gilded letters and the lovely green background and black shadowing. It must have been a
quite
it'd
a
be
piece.
A very impressive piece of anodizing.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yes, the old sign writer certainly went to town on that, didn't he?
Oh, honestly, did.
Yes. So this would be basically then the storeroom for tiles and finished work.
Yes, when my grandfather first took it, they used to polish marble up here.
Really?
They used to make a lot of marble mantelpieces, and when they were quiet.
Yes.
And then in spring, my grandfather and the other firms, stone cutting firms in town, would bring a polisher over from Liverpool or Manchester. And he'd get two or three days here, two or three days there. He'd polish all these things.
What? How would he polish? What materials would he use in the
polishing? Well, it depends. You different materials for different marbles, but the coloured marbles would all have to have what's known as putty powder as the polishing agent. Whereas the white ones, you could use salts of lemon or salts of sorrel.
Yes.
And you had to be very, very careful.
Yes.
You didn't overdo things, otherwise you burnt the polish.
And you that was included in the paste, was it? In
the salts. Yes, they used to rub it with felt.
It seems funny when you talk about polishing a stone.
Well, it doesn't be wrong. Gritted down to a very fine paste before you started operation. But that was a polishing pad. That was covered with felt.
Yes.
And a lead weight was put on top there to give it pressure as you moved up and down.
Oh, I see. And how would you hold that when you were polishing then? Oh, I see now. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Gosh. And that's a polishing...
A polishing pad was fitted on that.
Yes.
The felt pad was fitted on that.
That must have been a very slow and tedious...
Masonry was slow anyway, but
yes,
if you let it get tedious, if you found it tedious, your best way was to get out before you'd done 6 months apprenticeship.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Yes. Yes, of course, time wasn't that much important then,
well,
as
no,
it is today.
Pressure on the
no.
A whole of life, of course, is different nowadays.
Yes.
And then in a lighter moment, you may have noticed a ledge along the wall dividing this property from the one upside of it.
Yeah.
Well, we used to have a wooden box along there, and we grew white chrysanthemums in there. We used to have a wonderful show up the yard on the grid here.
Really?
And the story behind that was my grandfather was a great gardener as well. He'd a plot up on part of what's Noble's Hospital now, and used to grow stuff on a semi-commercial basis up there. He had greenhouses there as well. And he and a great pal of his, who was a professional gardener, grew a big display of white chrysanthemums in a pot one year, a new variety. And they got first prize at the, whatever the show was in those days, the Battle of Beer. So my grandfather planted some of them out along the wall there. Made this flower bed up on the wall, and they were there for years.
Really?
And then one winter, they all went like that.
Yeah.
Cuttings of cuttings of cuttings of cuttings of cuttings of cuttings. But
it all disappeared.
It all disappeared, whatever it was. And I, several times after my father's death, I renewed the soil in them. I should think three times, certainly. And they thrived, but they didn't this one winter. The big trouble, of course, was the wood used to rot away, and you'd come down sometimes and find half the flower bed down.
It would certainly add a nice bit of colour and a touch
to
the yard,
of course, all the old builders and things, people who used to come in here quite often knew about these, they all come, they're there again.
And the model on the bench there, is that...
Well, that was a suggestion for lifting the soldier on the Douglas War Memorial. It was never used. It's apparently a method used in big engineering works. They see where the arm comes out from the main structure. There's a cotton reel on top.
Yes.
Well, that swivels. The thing was, suspend your lifting gear from that. It would lift the gear up, and then you could spin it round right over the site, and you could roll it in and backwards and forwards on it. But, of course, to have lifted a thing like that would have cost as much as all of the memorial, the soldier and all the labour of erecting it, would have cost.
Yes.
It was actually decided to lift it with a big wooden jib, but fortunately my father decided to have a test lift on this the night before, and the jib broke.
Really?
Yeah, so it was only about 3 inches off the ground, and there was no damage on the thing. But the bottom of the case, it was still in the case,
mm.
and the bottom was sprung.
Yeah.
But they eventually got over it by using one of the harbour board steam cranes, which were fixtures over on the Battery Pier, unloading the Dolan and Silloth goods. Anyway, the railway company lent us a lot of new, brand new sleepers, and were able to build it up high enough to do the lift then.
And that's the present war memorial down on the promenade.
On the Harris Promenade, yeah.
Yes, good Lord. Yes, I often wondered how they managed to get that the figure of the soldier at the top
my
of
old,
that.
My father was a very worried man the morning he went down to do that. An elderly old gentleman, he came back a lot younger than when he was up and safely on top of it.
Yeah.
Especially after the first incident when
yes.
the gym broke.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the actual memorial itself, the soldier, that's a stone carving.
Yes. That's Portland stone.
Portland stone.
Yes, it was carved in Exeter by
yes.
a permanent.
Yeah.
Carvers who were eminent ones in those days,
yeah.
well known up and down Britain, Harry Hems and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
And that and the laurel wreath that's on it, they did
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They also did the crucifixion on St. Matthew's War Memorial too.
Did they?
Mm.
Yes.
That's when my father first had contact with them, was on
mm.
that. Mm. Of course, St. Matthew's War Memorial is an ox design.
That's right, that's the sandstone one,
yes.
is it?
And there you see the Walton Stone. They had to do the name panels in Walton Stone,
uh-huh.
much against my father's advice.
Yeah.
He wanted to wait until
yeah.
good stuff was in
yeah.
but no, they had to get it done.
Right.
And you'll see the letters are beginning to perish off there now.
Yes. Hello.